Well, good morning to you today, and it's great to be with you, and happy Mother's Day. What a special day it is, too. I pray that it would be a great blessing for all the moms, and we love you. We thank you for all that you do. You guys, you gals, are amazing people, so thank you. I'd really just pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon you. If you'd like to follow the notes, go to the chat section, and you'll get some instruction there how to tune in, so to speak, to the notes that way. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I'd like to quote that just for a moment here out of the NAS. But turn to your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24 is what we'll be looking at today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. But I was reminded as I was going through my notes this morning of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In the NAS, it says this: "This is a faithful or trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do." I believe that is a word for men and women alike, that if we desire, because the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts to draw us to a place of service, servant leadership, it's a great thing. It truly is. It's a privilege to have that call in our lives, and it is a call of God. As we look today, we're going to be looking at simply snapshots of true leadership, examples through Paul's life and Timothy's life of true spiritual leadership. And I pray that you'll just take notes on this, and so you can meditate over it and think about it and pray it into your life and through your life in a very special way. So let's start in verse 19, and we'll go through verse 24. It says, Paul said, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Very interesting verse we'll look at. But verse 22, it says, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." Believe it or not, there's 9 snapshots there of leadership. The leadership that we see in Paul's life and through Timothy's life. There's a story that I love. A story that reveals an important principle concerning what it takes to be a strong leader in the Church of Jesus Christ. I probably haven't quoted this quote for a long, long, long time. So if you recognize this, you either heard it from somebody else or you're back, you've been involved for our church for a long time. But it goes this way. The story has been told of a young man who was a recent graduate of a theological seminary. Educated beyond his intelligence, he had arrived at the spot where he thought he knew all the answers to all the theological problems and was eager to parade his knowledge. He came to a certain town where lived an elderly Christian layman who had never been to a Bible school or seminary, but had taught himself the Word of God under the tutorage of the Holy Spirit. In a very humble way, he had gained a reputation as a man of wise counsel. When the prideful young theologian heard about him, he said, "I'd like to meet that man. I think I could ask him a question or two that he couldn't answer." So a meeting was arranged. The first thing the young man said was, "Sir, I hear that you have quite a reputation as a Bible student. I'd like to ask you a question." And the old man said, "Well, I don't know if I can answer it, but I will be glad to try. What is your question?" The young man said, "Tell me, what were the Urim and the Thummim?" And the old man thought a moment, then said, "Well, sir, I don't know really, and I don't think anyone else does either. We do know the names mean lights and perfections, and that these were the instruments by which the high priest could determine the mind of God in specific instances. Beyond that, I don't think I could go. But you know, I found that if we change just one letter in these words, we have the instrument by which we can know the mind and will of God in our lives. The man was a bit puzzled. What do you mean? The old man said, well, if you change the R in Urim and to an S, you'll make it Uzim and Thummim. And when I want to know the mind of God, I just take the pages of my Bible and I use them and through them. And by that means, I can learn whatever I need to know. What wisdom was in that elderly man? All he was saying is that you had to use the scriptures and go through them, and you would have everything that you needed. Sometimes study can be important for us, but we don't want to be overeducated that we rule out the Holy Spirit. May the truth of the basis of leadership be something that we see this morning in our study. And so the first thing we see in verse 19 is the first snapshot of leadership. It's found in Paul's life when he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. Here we see a picture of a wise leader who has his thoughts and desires, but totally yielded to the will and purpose of God. That's very, very important. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. As leaders today, we are to lead. There's a fine line where we learn to yield in our leadership to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I have found through the years, I've come up with a lot of great ideas that were not sent from God, and they were useless. They were profitless in a way. They didn't bring benefit into the lives of people. Proverbs is filled with an example, with example after example of this principle. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That's what we are to do as leaders, as servants of Jesus Christ. We commit our works to the Lord, and I've seen so often when we do that, that he directs our steps. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Praise the Lord for that. And so there is that leadership principle that we learn to trust in the Lord and we yield to the Lord in all that we do, but we're yet willing to go forward as we hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's important. And notice there, but I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's orders came from Jesus Christ, and that's where our orders should come from. Another snapshot of Paul's life is found in verse 19 there too, where it says, to send Timothy to you shortly. This is a very important principle for those that lead. Here we see another example, a very good example of godly leadership. The willingness, and here it is, to send others to help meet needs, even if it is your very best. Throughout the years, there's been wonderful people that have been part of the team here. Just wonderful people that I've loved and just like them to be around and like to hold on to them because they bring so much to the ministry. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is moving and God is saying, I want to take them to the Ukraine, or God wants to take them to St. Kitts, or God wants to take them to this place or that place to start another church or do whatever he wants them to do. And my leadership at that point is to say, Lord, you're the boss. They're good people. I'd love them to stay around, but we are to allow the Lord to have his way in the lives of people. We are never to hold on to that which belongs to God. Never to do that. If we do, we put our fingerprints on the ministry. Listen to the heart of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. In leadership, what we see as an example from Paul's life here is that he didn't hold on. He was willing to give his very best and pass it on to where the other needs were, and we should do that. Third, we see here in verse 19, where Paul said that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Very important principle here. A wise and concerned leader is one that diligently desires to know the condition of those whom he or she serves. That's why when this virus came into our midst, we made a decision. And I hope that you have received a call, a text, or somehow there's been a connection between someone here in our fellowship, because we decided the best that we could, if people had signed up to e-com or e-prayer, that we would go through that and make sure we reached out to every person that we can, because we were truly concerned to know the state of where you are, because we love you. Proverbs 27:23 puts it this way: be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Now, I'm not going to say that you're a bunch of cattle or sheep, but spiritually, that's true. That's true. And we, as under shepherds to Jesus Christ, must follow his example and give our life for those that he's called us to serve. We move on in verse 20, and we see now Timothy's example. The first one we see is where it says, "For I have no one like-minded." This young man was an interesting man. He loved Jesus. Paul had a special relationship with him. More than likely, this phrase is not to be understood that Paul didn't have genuine Christian friends around him in Rome, but it appears that Paul felt that Timothy was the only one around him at that time that was like-minded in his concern for those in Philippi. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said this of Timothy. Look at the character of this man named Timothy. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine," number one. "You have carefully followed my manner of love, life," number two. "You have carefully followed my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance." Timothy took the example of Paul, and he applied it to his life, and there was great fruit because of that. Now, other people believe that this verse could possibly be speaking of an attitude of indifference, and there is a possibility that that is true. An indifference among some, which is a very dangerous thing in the church. Timothy's attitude was the opposite of that. So that's what we have to learn from him. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, notice what it says about this principle. "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him. And all Israel," notice that, "all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem." Powerful words there. We as leaders are to go before the people. I believe it is the army rangers that have an insignia, and it shows a man with his rifle reaching out like this, going forward and looking back at the same time and saying, "Come on, let's go." That's the way leadership is to be in the church of Jesus Christ. It's not to stay behind. Timothy was a person that was willing to go forward, and Paul recognized that. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7, it says this, "And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you." How are we stirring up our hearts today? If we desire to be a leader, that vision God will bring upon our hearts, into our lives, and must be stirred up at time. What is going on inside of your heart? What is exciting you about life and about Jesus and all? It needs to be stirred up at times, because we can get very, very comfortable. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps." This is God speaking. "And punish the men who are settled in complacency." Settled in complacency. "Who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil." The Lord's not involved. And so we're just going to go ahead and do this. Complacency is a dangerous thing. Thus, to be good leaders for the glory of God, we must keep ourselves on the cutting edge of things. As Isaiah said, we must stir ourselves up to take hold of God. Very important. Are we complacent today? I pray not. I pray not we're not missing the opportunities that are set before us because of this crisis that we've been in the midst of. People are hungry for the truth. They're hungry for Jesus Christ. And we must be those that have the voices to tell them and point the way for them as the army rangers would point to the way going into battle. In verse 21, we see another example, another snapshot, where Paul said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ." Sometimes even well-meaning leaders put their own interests before those interests that belong to the work, those interests that belong to the work of God. Again, Timothy was not this way. He was not this kind of leader. Paul was speaking against those who would not deny self and turn away from the things of the world. In other words, they were selfish. As a leader, we do not have the freedom to be selfish. We must be selfless. Matthew Henry said this concerning this very verse. He said, "Seeking our own interest to the neglect of Jesus Christ is a very great sin and very common among Christians and ministers. Many prefer their own credit, their own ease, their own safety before truth, holiness, and duty." We cannot have that. Should not be allowed in my life or any of the leaders here in Horizon Christian Fellowship. For if that's the way that it is, we've been drawn into complacency, we need to stir ourselves up or we need to step aside from that position. Lehman Strauss said this, that this pathetic condition of self-seeking is the curse of Christendom in general and of the ministry in particular. Paul's words are a scathing indictment against the awful sin of selfishness. There are so few who devote their lives in selfless service. Unfortunately, many seek out their own interest while professing Christ's name. It's not to be that way. It's not to be that way here at Horizon. And I pray it wouldn't be that way in our hearts. Paul said, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." Is that what we are doing in the midst of this virus, the midst of the challenge that we are going through? And then that verse that we have studied, two verses, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, where Paul said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others." Yes, there is a balance. Yes, we take care of ourselves, but we take care of ourselves so we can reach out to other people. May that be our heart. It goes on in these short verses, these six short verses here, to give us the third example of Timothy's leadership, where it says, "But you know his proven character." This is a very important one here. Proven, that word refers to putting someone or something to the test for the purpose of obtaining approval. Timothy had approved himself over a period of time. All would-be leaders must do the same. If you want to be a servant, if you want to be a leader, you aspire to a very good thing, but you must allow God to prove your character. Paul, no doubt, observed Timothy very carefully before making this statement about him. No one received Paul's approval without having the goods. In other words, Paul was such a man, he was such a leader, that he knew the principle of God. I have yet to see a person with a true call from God that hasn't been prepared to answer that call, who hasn't gone through challenges, who hasn't gone through difficulties, who hasn't had the experience of their character being proven. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily." And that's a principle that we follow here. Sometimes people will come in our fellowship and they'll want to serve. That's great. I want to do that and open doors for that way. But they want to serve. How they want to serve, they want to be up front. Often you see this with the gift of worship. A person comes in and they're truly gifted in worship and they want to be right front and center. But Ed is wise enough. He's a good leader to realize, no, I'm not going to put that person up there to stumble. I'm going to get to know them, get to know their heart. Do they want to be have people drawn unto them, or are they here to truly serve the saints? One of the best things that ever happened to me after I was asked to begin to usher is I very shortly thereafter, I'd come in on a Sunday morning to usher, pass out the bulletins, and someone handed me a mop and said, the toilet is messed up in the toilet. Go take care of it. And right away, you know, inside of me, no, wait a minute. I've always been successful. I've always done this. I've always done that. And all that. And then I'm holding that mop and I'm going through this and I go, no, I'm a different person now. I want to go learn to serve. What is a very common way that proven character is developed is found in chapter 5 of Romans, verses 3 and 4. It says this, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. And that word can be translated proven, tested character. A person must be tested. That's a very important principle that Paul is emphasizing here. And there in verse 22, the next principle we see concerning Timothy, example number 4, that is a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Cooperation in service is vital in ministry for the church. Timothy always seemed to display a cooperative spirit. I look for that among people that want to serve. Again, are they willing to do the small things? Or are they looking to do the big things? Are they cooperative? They're there, they volunteer. They're there to serve the people. You don't, in most top places, don't even have to ask a person to serve. They just go out and do it. If we have a divided house, little, if anything, will get accomplished for the glory of God and for the benefit of Jesus Christ. We all are to serve with a united heart, the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus put it this way. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And so Timothy was a son with his father who served with him in the gospel. There was unity there. He worked together. He didn't try to be more than who he was. If we have cooperation, if we have unity in the church, the sky is the limit as to what can be accomplished for the glory of God. We've been blessed that way, really, in Horizon Indy. We've been blessed by people seeking Jesus Christ and desiring cooperation and unity. Nehemiah's time, it was said in Nehemiah chapter 4, these words, so it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And so they were ready to go. The work was necessary. Shovel in one hand, sword in another hand, ready to go into the battle, but yet to get accomplished that which needed to be accomplished. I pray. I remember one time I was coming in on a Sunday morning, and there was a disaster here at the church here. There was a disaster when I went into the toilet area there. There was a disaster waiting me at that point. And then I thought, wow, somebody else can do that. I mean, after all, I got to do this. And no, very quickly, that disaster belongs to you. And so the Lord said, I want you to take care of that. As we go on, we see the last example of Timothy here in verse 23, where it says, I hope to send him at what? Once. What snapshot of leadership is this? Timothy willingly served in second place as a leader. I quite honestly thought that I would serve my life out in ministry being in second place. I had a desire to serve Mike McIntosh. That was my desire. I was content to do that. And that was good that that's what was in my heart until God changed it. But that's a principle. We must be willing To serve is number two, number three, number four, number 116, whatever it would be. Throughout Scripture, we find Timothy by the side of Paul. He was with Paul in Philippi, in Thessalonica, look it up. He was there in Berea, in Corinth, Ephesus, and in Rome. He was there by the side. He was called to be that person by the side of Paul. Serving in second place is indeed a privilege. The second man not only leads those under his responsibility, but he also contributes to the life and ministry of the first man. What a beautiful position that is. Scripture points out that Elisha washed the hands of Elijah, and we see that Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. So many good principles here. It might not be immediately seen, but wonderful principles. And the last one that we see is the snapshot of Paul's example here, Paul's number four, this fourth example. And what is that? Look at verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul was actually saying, I trust that I will be able to do this for the glory of God. Paul was a goal-oriented person who normally made careful plans relative to what he wanted to do next. But at the same time, he allowed God to change the plans if he so desired. That's the way that we are to walk. We are to be, as it says in Habakkuk, to write down the vision so others can read. And we run. Paul was such a person. He wrote these things down. We are reading these today. So as we read, then the vision for this will not tarry, and we can run with them. But yet we yield everything to the Lord. It's important that we would do that. So today in our study, we have seen 9 snapshots, 9 examples of excellent Christian leadership. Excellent Christian leadership. If we want to serve in a leadership capacity, then may we ask the Lord to build these truths into our lives. They must be there. The Holy Spirit must work those into our lives. Also today, we have seen a tremendous example of 2 men who were willing to follow the Lord and who also were willing to lead as the Lord gave them opportunity. Today, may we ask the Lord to build these truths into our lives that we can be a servant leader for the glory of God, to be a blessing to other people. Someone has said, listen closely to this. Someone has said, I couldn't find where this quote came from, but I love it. The person who can't lead and won't follow makes a dandy roadblock. Again, the person who can't lead or won't follow makes a dandy roadblock. We don't want to be roadblocks. We want to be opening doors, open paths for people to go, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We want to be true leaders. Concerning leadership, I'll close with this statement. The 6 most important words, here they are. I admit that I made a mistake. That's a leader. The 5 most important words, you did a good job. That's a leader that says that. The 4 most important words, what is your opinion? The leader isn't talking all the time and giving his or her opinion. They're allowing another person to speak. What is your opinion? Drawing wisdom out, bringing people involved into whatever is going on. The 3 most important words, if you please, always with kindness. The 2 most important words, thank you. And the most important word is We, joining together, we are serving the Lord. And the least important word, you know what it is? I. A leader does not concentrate on I. If you want to know a true leader, listen to his or her words. How many I's are in the midst of the conversation? That'll tell you a lot about that person, because across the lips come the issue of the heart. If that person is talking about we, including people, giving them opportunities to serve, giving them opportunities to be seen, then you have a true leader. May we today follow the examples of Paul and Timothy that we have seen. And may we also follow the wisdom of Deborah and Barak, who sang together the following statement: when leaders lead in Israel, may I make an application? When leaders lead in Horizon Indy, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. And so may we here at Horizon do both. May we do both. Lead as we have been called by God to lead, and willingly offer ourselves to God in service for His glory. What a wonderful 6 verses. And I pray it's a blessing to you. We serve an awesome God. We truly, truly do. And He opens up avenues for us that we can learn about Him as we learn to serve. And He changes us in ways that we have never been changed. I can honestly say, in the over 40 years that I've known the Lord, it's by the service, being in the Word, yes, but by serving people that I've learned some of the best lessons that I have ever, ever learned. And so let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us in a very special way. Father, I want to thank You for these 6 short verses. I thank You so much for all that is there. Lord, all these little snapshots of leadership. I pray that You would instruct us in our hearts, Lord, that these principles, these examples will be in our lives, that we would follow them because the working of the Holy Spirit. We cry out today, Lord, for You, Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts, to instruct us, Lord. Let us not be afraid to step into leadership positions, but let us have that call that brings us to that place where we can simply go, yes, sir. Sir, we will follow You. Sir, I know that I'm not able. I know that. I understand that. But I can trust You. I will walk in You. And then, Lord, we just pray very specifically, these examples, these snapshots we've looked at, work these deep into our hearts. And so we thank You, we praise You, and we bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.